Lord, as we come to your word, grant that your spirit would give us insight. Grant that your spirit would convict us. Grant that your spirit would challenge us and send us forth. In the name of Christ, amen. The question that we need to ask ourselves as we listen to the scriptures today and the whisper of the Holy Spirit is, how do we know? How do others know that the living God is among us? That is, that the living God is within you through the Holy Spirit. That the living God is within us, living water, a community of Christ, a community of justice and love. Let's begin and look at the way the passage from Joshua speaks to us about being doers of the word, who demonstrate the word of God is in us. Moses had just handed the leadership of the Israelites to his faithful follower and God's faithful follower, Joshua. He's a new leader. And generally when there's a new leader, people might ask, is God with him? Will the people follow him? What's he going to be like? Is he going to be like Moses, or is he going to be different? Joshua tells the people and the priests who will go before the people what God will do. First, the priests had to accept what Joshua, the new leader, said God would do. Joshua must have already shown some of the character of God with him, because the priests followed his word without question. They followed faithfully, and so did the people follow the priests. They did exactly what he said, and they carried the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan. Now, Spud read, the Jordan was in flood during harvest time. So you needed to accept that Joshua was leading exactly as God had said. Because, I'll fix that up, Spud, sorry. When you sing, it drops down. Because walking into a flooded river, anybody been across some flooded rivers? Made a decision whether to drive into the flooded river or not? Yeah. So walking into the flooded river, you had to trust the leader. You had to know that God had spoken to that leader. Now, a little aside, the priest carried the law of the covenant and they went before the people. Now, however, there's no requirement for the priests to go before us, the people. Why? Because Jesus is our only priest. And he has gone before us. In him, the law is fulfilled and the new covenant operates.
Hallelujah.
Amen. In the story that we've got here, God demonstrates, God goes before the people by the waters parting, and they're able to safely cross. This becomes a faith story of God going before them and being with them. It's the second occasion that the waters are parted. The first occasion, of course, was when Moses led the people out of slavery. Now, under Joshua's leadership, the waters part for God's promised covenant to be fulfilled. And the lesson, beloved, is that we, like the Israelites, need to do as verse 2 of Psalm 107 says, which Roz read as our call to worship, tell the stories of God's goodness. tell the stories of God's goodness. If future generations of your family and mine are to know God is faithful, if the communities in which we live and work are to know God's faithfulness for us as individuals and for Living Water as a community, then we must repeatedly tell the stories, our stories, of how we have experienced God's faithfulness in our lives and in our community. Partly that's what we did yesterday when we talked about our dear departed friend Lorna. We need to tell the stories of God's faithfulness in our lives. Julie, who's not here, told of how she went on that first Emmaus walk and she was partnered with Lorna and she was in the bedroom, the little donga with Lorna, and as she went on, she began to cry because she didn't have family around. And she said Lorna became like a mum over the years that she got to know her and spent time visiting her. Now, God was doing that. God knew Julie's needs. God knew Lorna's needs and Lorna's heart for giving. We need to tell each other, not just when we're celebrating the life of someone, we need to tell each other the faithful stories of God. The things that God's doing in your life and mine, the thing that God is doing in our community. That's the lesson. Just before we look at the Gospel of Matthew, let's hear the clear imperative for gain that James makes very plain. Do not merely listen to the word, do what it says. Or as Mary-Ann read from the King James Version, be doers of the word, which is the title of my sermon. James continues and re-emphasizes that point in verse 25 that we are not simply to remember the words, but we are to do them. In this, he said, there's a blessing. And I want to add that blessing is not just a blessing on our lives, it's a blessing on the lives of others. It's important that we remember that because, you know, we teach kids memory verses, scripture memory verses. But if we aren't an example of the scripture that we're teaching the kids, then we're no different to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, those that weren't an example, those that were expounding the word but not living the word. So it's important, don't just remember the word, be doers of the word, be examples of what the word says. James points out clearly what faith in action looks like in your life and mine, in our community. It's to do justice and to be holy as God is holy. That's my summation of verse 27, which is about caring for all those that are in need and not being polluted by the world. That's what it is to be the salt and light that Jesus spoke about in the world. That's what demonstrates that the Word of God is within us. Most interpreters believe that Matthew's gospel emerged during a formative and conflicted moment in the emergence of Judaism, rabbinic Judaism, so rabbis interpreting the scriptures. With Jerusalem and the temple decimated, Jesus begins the process of imagining what it would mean to follow God without a central temple. Remember the temple, and that's what they're studying in there right now. Remember that the temple was the central focus of Judaism and of the worship of God. But Jesus points to a new and living way beyond pilgrimage and sacrifice to the temple. Jesus points to a way which would shape worship through God's plan and Christ's victory over sin and death. A new and living way. It was during that same period that authoritative teachers of the Torah emerged. And the Torah is in Hebrew law contained in the first five books of the Hebrew Bible. And the conflict was between the followers of Jesus and other people of the Jewish faith. The conflict is what led to the rumor that was spread that the disciples stole Jesus' body and hid it. A rumor that was intended to discredit the claim of the resurrection. So the conflict in Matthew is about the authority to interpret Judaism and the Torah. And in this new era, Matthew promotes Jesus as the sole authority to interpret. And having looked at the nature of what was going on at the time when Matthew was written, let's look at what it means for us today. In my Bible, it's a little different to what Lisa read for us in terms of the title. My Bible is titled A Warning Against Hypocrisy. And that word in the Greek is used six times in this chapter alone, hypocrisy. Most stridently in verse 27 of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. The Greek word used means to be an actor, a play actor, to act in plays, to fulfill a role. But it's not about your life, it's about the role you're performing for others to see. It's not about an authentic life of faith. Jesus is clear and consistent in the biblical imperative to honour and respect authority. I want to emphasise that. So, the teaching of the Torah that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were doing was good. There was nothing wrong with the teaching, there was nothing wrong with the Torah. It was the lives of many of the teachers, and not all of them, it was the lives of many of them, which were inconsistent with their teaching. And that's what Jesus said not to follow. It's important we note that, because otherwise it's easy to broad brush and rubbish Judaism and the teachers of the law, and that would be wrong. What Matthew 23 teaches us for today is about authentic leadership. The authentic leadership like Joshua gave is all about content and conduct. That is, what is the teaching, and is that teaching being demonstrated by the leader in the way they conduct themselves? So, you know, there's some of you are teachers here. If you're in a classroom and you're requiring particular things of the kids in terms of their behaviour, but your behaviour doesn't measure up, how are the kids going to respond?
They're not.
Similarly in families. It is about leadership, and leaders do carry more responsibility, but all of us as followers of Jesus need to ensure that our actions match our words. Because as we heard in the reading, we are all priests. Not just the 12 priests that went in with the Ark of the Covenant as it was in those days. Under the new covenant, we're all priests. To draw on last week and our focus on Living Water's vision and mission as an example, does the way Liz and Roz behave, conduct themselves in the Mums and Bubs group, demonstrate the love of Jesus within their life. Because that is how those mums and bubs will either connect. Remember, our vision is connecting with the community with the love of Jesus. We'll either connect or turn away. And so that is true for all of us in all the different facets of our lives. Finally, and to conclude, Jesus makes it clear that the actions should be done in humility. Our actions, our conduct should be done in humility rather than to promote ourselves or to be noticed. He's harking back to the actor, the hypocrisy. Our only audience is God. Indeed, we're to promote others. As Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty pride, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. Beloved, in humility, ensure how you act, how we act, matches what we say for the sake of Jesus. Amen.